Cape Talk.
The music feature.
Right, what else could we do in today's music feature than pay tribute to the late, great Queen of Soul? And really interestingly, thank you, Brian, who WhatsApped me earlier, pointing out a little piece of trivia that the 16th of August will now mark the death date of both a king and a queen. The King of Rock and Roll, Elvis, died on the 16th of August, 1977. And the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, departing this earth on the 16th of August, 2018. Interesting little piece of trivia, Brian. Thanks for pointing it out to us. Aretha Franklin, of course, was announced yesterday, had died following a battle with pancreatic cancer. She was born in 1942 in Memphis, Tennessee. You may know the story that she began her singing career in church. Her father was a preacher. She would sing gospel in his church. And what a career grew from there. Critical acclaim, massive hits like Respect and Chain of Fools and You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman and many, many more. If there's a particular song that has particular meaning to you that you would like to mention today, tell us the story. Drop me a voice note on 072-567-1567 or call us on 021-446-0567. A career that included 18 Grammy Awards, over 75 million records sold worldwide, making her one of the all-time best-selling female artists. And we are hoping to be able to touch base with one of her big fans locally, Karen Corkier, just stuck in traffic. We hope she's going to make it to the studio in time to chat to us before the end of the show. In the meantime, though, let's turn to our music guru, Sean Brokenshaw, for some insight into the legacy and the importance of Aretha Franklin as an artist. Sean, it's a huge loss to the industry, a giant figure gone. Good afternoon.
Yes, well, hello everybody. It's far beyond music. Yeah, people are using her rightly earned title, the Queen of Soul. But in my mind, she is the mother of modern music. She is the most clearly the most dominant figure, female figure in music in the last 100 years. Her influence is immense. You mentioned some of the accolades. The first woman to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
she was actually inducted 3 times into various halls of fame. She had another 2 Grammys apart from the 18 Lifetime Achievement Grammys. Her life, you know, her career didn't start in the church in Little Bethel. Indeed, she sang her first solo there, but she had a most interesting life. And throughout her life, she was always a real person, very, very human in a lot of ways, which I'll tell you about. But also, her heart was in the right place. She sang, you know, there are a lot of people with similar life stories, but this voice, it was the voice of angels. You know, Barack Obama commented yesterday that we had a glimpse of the divine. It truly was that. And she knew it, and her talent was nurtured. And so she had the freedom to sing with absolute joy and completely like a bird released. And she never sweated over anything. She never fussed about what she was singing, the genre she was singing. I mean, the most incredible thing happened at the Grammy Awards this century, and I think it was around about 2012, around about there, where Luciano Pavarotti was due to sing Nessun Dorma. He became ill, and it was the illness that actually eventually killed him. And at the last minute, without any rehearsal, she stepped up to the plate and she said, "I'll sing it," which for anyone else would be a suicide of a career, because you cannot sing like an opera singer if you are the Queen of Soul or if you're steeped in that tradition. It's just a different way of singing. She sang it as a blues number, and it just proved, you know, she was just... There's one thing that defines her more than anything else. It's that voice. It's the most incredible voice we have heard, and that is, according to Rolling Stone magazine, number one best voice in music. Her life, and I'll be very brief, but it's very interesting.
Yep.
Her dad was a guy called C.J. Franklin. Now, there was good and there was bad to C.J. Franklin, but mostly good. He was an evangelist. He was known as the man with the million-dollar voice. He was mostly evangelist, but also a good showman, and he had his own ministry. Her mother was a singer and a professional singer as well. The little family, she was born in Tennessee, but the little family, well, it was actually quite big, moved to New York when she was 2. And there were 5 children because 3 of them came from illegitimate relationships that both parents had had. But it seemed to work well until she was 4. Then C.J. started his own church. the New Bethel Church, and at six her parents separated. And she was largely brought up by her dad. But because her dad was a celebrity preacher, in amongst her household, there were always famous people. Her mother died when she was 10, and the role of mother was taken over by her grandmother Rachel and Mahalia Jackson, who taught her to play piano at the same time. She was childhood friends with Sam Cooke and with Jackie Wilson. It was actually Sam Cooke who persuaded her to try and persuade her dad to let her sing for a secular label. Mm-hmm. And her career went from place to place to place. And the thing about soul music is it's very geographically defined. So you have something like the Philly sound, or you have the Motown sound, the Detroit sound. She was there in all of those places by being with various record labels. I'm only talking about one genre of music, remember, and there are about six in which she excelled.
Yeah.
And you know, I could go on and talk about her as a gospel singer. For 25 years, she had the most popular, biggest-selling gospel album of all time, called Amazing Grace. She was also a pop diva in the 80s. She was a funk diva in the 70s. She reinvented style. She changed managers, changed labels. She lived with tragedy. Her mother's death hit her hard. Her father was shot at the year in the 1979. Her father was shot and was in a coma for 5 years. She went back to the church for a while, gathered herself, went into her circle and came back even stronger. And in the 80s, she did a whole string of duets. Remember, a whole bunch of people, Michael Jackson, George Michael, Whitney, George Benson, Elton John, Annie Lennox. She just kept on going. And then we get to this century and you thought, well, maybe she's in her dotage. She surprised the world in 2014. She does a cover of other people's songs, including Rolling in the Deep. And that gave her her 100th, how's that number? 100th hit on the Billboard charts.
Wow.
The only woman who's come close to doing that, and probably the only second person after Elvis who's managed to do that. She, in terms of her personal life, I said she's all too human. She was all too human. She had her first child when she was 12, her classmate. Second child when she was 14. And she struggled her whole life with alcoholism and chain smoking. She would be married twice, first of all to a manager, a guy called Ted White, who proved to be quite abusive. And so she left him in 1969. And then she met a man in church, a guy called Ted Thurman, Jeff Thurman. And he's an actor, and they married, but they divorced. And she spent her later years with this fine gentleman called Willie Wilkerson, and they refused to marry, although they were engaged twice. Mm-hmm. So she lived a life. I mean, her singing was like her as a person. She lived a life, and she was unapologetic. She was unrepentant, but she was one of those really good people. You know, hundreds of years from now, we'll think about people that we really love from centuries back. And we're going to think of Louis Armstrong. We're going to think of Aretha. That is her importance in this life. Is she's a glue like no other glue.
Yeah. Sean Brokenshaw, we have to leave it there. But thank you for that in summing up of an incredible life and an incredible talent. 100th hit. Yeah, that's a staggering thing to say and to actually think about what that means. A career that has spanned so many decades, so many styles, and with so much style. One of the people that she had a profound influence on was right here in South Africa, our own Karen Corkier, who hasn't managed to make it to studio. So unfortunately, we're not going to be able to give you her live rendition of some Aretha, but we can just say a quick hello on the phone, because Karen, Aretha Franklin was an artist who had a huge influence on you as a musician, and it was performing one of her huge songs, A Natural Woman, that really kick-started your career, wasn't it? Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Firstly, I just want to say sorry that I can't make it. You know, it's just one of those days, but I would really love to be there one day in your studio and just have a nice chat with you.
Another time. Then,
yes, and then to come back to Miss Aretha Franklin, yes, she played a very big role in my life. As an artist, I look up to her. As a woman, I look up to her. And while I was listening now to that man's explanation of the life that she lived, you know, it surely touches me in a sense where I now actually realized why I love that woman so much and her music, because she lived a full life, and she was human. She made mistakes. She stood up and she made music, and she made beautiful music, and for that I applaud her. So, and I remember back on Idols when I rehearsed a song, Natural Woman. They gave me the cover that Mary J. Blige did. So I learned that cover. I didn't know who Aretha was on Idols. I only read up of her afterwards. So when I learned the song, I learned it the way that Mary J. Blige sang it. But when I sang the song and I spoke to one of the judges afterwards, he said to me, "But Karin, you know what? You sound so much like Aretha Franklin. You remind me so much of Aretha Franklin." And I didn't even know who this woman was. And it's only afterwards that I realized, you know, and I feel honored that somebody would see me as in the same class as Miss Aretha Franklin. And may her soul rest in peace.
Indeed. Karin Kokia, thank you so much. And I hope we do have a chance to catch up for a chat at a later date.